Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Hi, my name is Zach Barrett. I'm currently a theater artist in Fort McMurray by contract. So I just kind of go around and do gigs as they pop up, and currently the one I'm working on is Rent for a Swamp Ride Experience. I'm the director for that project.
And so what does that mean, director?
So director is, they work throughout the pre-production and production process of the show. Their job is basically from like the pitch of the project all the way up to opening night. As soon as the show goes up that last time, their job is done. They are just a patron now. And it's basically guiding all of the different elements throughout the production to create their vision of the show. So three or four people can read a book and have very different interpretations of that book is read. So basically, as the director of the project, it's I have a visual, you know, perspective on how I would like the show to look, and then kind of making sure that all of these different creative people that all come together to put in their perceptions of the show from all the actors, the costume designers, the set designers, and trying to be like a guiding voice to kind of make sure that all the voices are at least not trying to speak over each other and are kind of cohesive in that story that's being told.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we had one director on the show before, and he left. Like, he was not going to be around for the show, which I thought was, like, mind-blowing and, like, gave me, and I don't get anxiety often, but it gave me anxiety to be like, man, you put all this work and you're not going to, like, see that. And he's like, no, I believe in what I've done. I have faith in the actors. And, like, that was his kind of how he worked through it. And I was just like, dude, you got balls, bro. Like, I have to assume that's not the norm. Like, you're going to stick around to see how it's
so
going.
That is the norm.
That is the norm.
Although, that being said, I am saying, because I live here, right?
Okay,
so it's not like I'm going to be going anywhere.
And that's right.
I like doing that. But there's a couple reasons for it as
I
why
can't
that's
wait to hear it.
Kind of the process.
Yeah.
A, usually directors are traveling around for gigs. So, like, you're not, 9 times out of 10, you're not hiring someone local to do that kind of a project.
Right.
It's like piano shows here in town. They're bringing people in all the time.
Yeah.
So they're, within the last week of before the show goes up, you're in tech. You're kind of in the process of handing off your work to someone else to maintain that work.
Right.
Once the curtain is up and the show is starting.
Yeah.
And I've seen some directors that during that week, while they're kind of in downtime watching all the other artists at work, they're in the middle of meetings and in pre-production for another show.
Yeah.
So as soon as, even from like a pay perspective, as soon as the show starts, your pay is done, your job is done.
Yeah.
So they'll stay for maybe the opening and then they'll just hop on a plane and go to the next gig. But another part of that is artists are always seeking perfection. Perfection is like the antithesis to getting anything done.
Right.
And so you're in this constant process of wanting to make notes, adjustments, tweaks, perfect, or refine.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't stop as soon as the curtain goes up. You want to be like, oh, that could have been better, or oh, I want to tell them to just turn this way a little bit more.
Right.
But there has to be a cutoff where you're never going to stop tweaking.
Right.
And the people that pay for that first opening night ticket and the people that pay for the closing night ticket are paying the same amount for the same quality of show.
Yeah.
So the closing night guys can't have a more refined show than opening night, because then they're getting a different quality for the same amount of money.
Right. Yeah. I kind of get that in regards to, I can assure you, I watch none of these. Like we film them and they go out. So like
nobody on the team watches them, bro.
That's right. Yeah, so I kind of get it, but to me, like, at like at such a high level. I'd want to see it. I'd want to see my work in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Like, with this, I can watch clips, I guess, like, sometimes, but, yeah. Wow, wild. So you are going to stick around and see yours then?
I will be staying in one. Because I'm usually directing locally, I tend to kind of try to watch all the shows or as many as possible, and then right. I kind of just...
Yeah.
I'm good at detaching myself from those things. I'm like, cool, I can't fix it now. All right.
Yeah, good for you.
The directors probably put, like, a lot more work and effort into their projects than you put into this.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I know. You're like, we're not shy about the lack of effort I put into this show.
We don't edit, not because we can't, but because we just don't want to.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Editing is a pain.
It's a pain.
I totally get it.
Yeah. And I've always thought, like, when I watch something online or on television and they, like, cut away for a commercial or edit, like, and, like, you can tell something was missed. Like,
yeah.
I don't like when I'm watching, like, The Tonight Show and they're having a conversation and then they're like, oh, we're back. I'm like, what were you guys talking about?
Yeah, what's
like,
that, the bit that was clearly missed?
Yeah. So the whole thought process was, like, I don't like it, and I feel like something else I'm missing. So, like, don't edit the conversation. As well as, like, I go out of my way to do zero preparation before the interviews. So, like, you've been in town for a while. I could have easily went on your Facebook page and figured out all your work. But I think it's cooler to, like, have an organic conversation. And so when I'm learning something new, so is the guests at home. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, we do zero preparation for this show. And Tanner, when he puts his questions together, he's putting the questions together literally while you and I would be talking if we were in the studio.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
We have a different way of working, for sure.
I got started in improv, so, like, this directing thing is a newer thing down the professional line. But I started in improv, totally get it. Improv is organic, it's fun.
I've never thought about it, but I guess, in fact, we are doing improv.
Improv, that's right.
Nothing wrong with that. Improv's great.
If we can put a fancy title on what we do, I'll take it. So, when did you start acting? Like, did you start in improv, or was this... Oh, before we get into there, let's throw to a quick ad from Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we're back. Okay, so when did you get in acting? Like, how young did that hit you?
I was 9.
9 years old? Okay.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't something that was particularly like, oh, I have to go and do this thing. It was, you know, parents are putting their kids into a bunch of different things to see what sticks with them, right?
Right, of course.
So there was a couple of theater programs that were going on for youth at Keanu at that time, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I just hit it off. I fit in really well and then kind of stuck with it from then through high school all the way to.
Yeah.
Even went to post-secondary for it, got a degree in film specifically for acting. But all of the electives I took were all in on all the backstage and like behind the scenes, camera, technical, all of that stuff.
Where did you take that?
There used to be a 2-year diploma program here in the Visual Performing Arts at Keanu Theater.
That's right.
And then I went to Red Deer College to do the last 2 years for film, like specifically for film.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now that we know that you have been, are you born and raised in Fort McMurray?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah,
just like yourself, Tanner. Here comes some true and tried questions. Where is your favorite place to get poutine in Fort McMurray?
Favorite place to get poutine in Fort McMurray?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. This is a really weird answer.
Tanner's in the back, like, come on.
And this is not... this might not even count as an answer, because it's the dessert poutine at Canadian Brewhouse.
Oh.
It's got, like, cinnamon donut sticks, and the gravy is maple syrup, or, like, a caramel sauce, something like that. They put some ice cream as cheese curds.
I don't like the answer. It's not
That's
poutine.
Fair.
Like, I'm a traditionalist. I like, listen, there's no wrong answer. It's just we have arguments about poutine.
That's fair.
If you put bacon on it, it's a poutine anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But okay. I do want to try what you just said.
That's fair.
I know. I don't mind getting hate. I'm not saying my theory or my logic makes any sense. But so this is a dessert poutine.
The dessert poutine.
And it has ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Like, I've literally only started eating ice cream after like a 20-year hiatus. Big shout out to Lactose. Please sponsor us. Because I love your product and I'm using it a lot.
All the time.
But I am going to go out of my way to try this. So thank you for that being your answer.
Where's your preferred place? Oh, I got to try this.
Easy. It's the Ski Hill. Vista Ridge.
Hey!
Vista Ridge.
It's been a hot minute to have one of their poutines, but I will go.
It's worth the drive.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Well, I guess I'm already out there.
It's worth it if you're already out there.
That's right. It's a long drive. It's a long drive.
But yeah.
Yeah. Just for the poutine is a little bit of a stretch. It's like a 40-minute drive.
That's right.
Round trip.
And Original Joe's, if you're in town.
You can get one almost just as good.
Original Joe's in town.
That's fair. Original Joe's is good.
Not a 40-minute drive. Yeah.
Now the next one, and I'm going to get heat over this because I'm switching up my answer. Where is your favorite place to get pizza?
Oh, that changed recently. The Alley.
The Alley?
The Alley's Pizza. Okay. Absolutely. I love the Alley's Pizza.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. They make good pizza. Big shout out to Mo and Sarah. You guys crush it on the pizza at the Alley. Mine for years was Joma's Pizza.
Same.
Thickwood.
Yes. Weirdly, specifically Thickwood.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And as of this weekend, it is now Joma's downtown.
Really?
I know. I am shocked. I'm going to say this on camera because this is the truth. Joma's downtown was a solid last place in my ranking growing up. And this weekend, we were downtown, Ribfest, and afterwards we were coming home, and Tanner was just like, you need to give Joma's downtown some revisited love. Because I haven't eaten there since I was a Keanu student.
Yeah.
So anyways, we went, and to say I was blown away is an understatement. Sorry, Thickwood. I still love you, but downtown after this weekend, notched up to the first place.
Okay, go try. I used to go to the downtown one. There used to be that card shop in the same building there.
Yes.
Just go down a couple, every Saturday, we just go down there, have lunch there.
Like, you're talking next to Chow's, right?
Yeah, Chow's.
No, right next to, we're like in that same building as Joe's. There used to be like a card shop right there.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, Fort McMurray's had a bunch of different shops downtown. Some stay, some don't. But they've, like, I remember Corey's Comics used to be down in in the Morrison Center.
I used to love
Corey's Comics.
Didn't they also have an arcade in there?
Yeah, there was an arcade. There was a few different arcades. There was an arcade by something Centennial like Pool.
Yeah.
And I think there was something there. And like, really, I don't know.
I'm thinking River City had an arcade.
Yeah. But yeah,
they had some games there. Yeah, yeah. Back when it was the Plaza 2.
Yeah.
Where was that kids' club?
Oh, Club Soda.
Yeah.
You got to be really old to remember Club Soda. You never went to Club Soda.
No. There's no way.
No, there's no way.
Wait, is that the one where it's like they had like you make your own like cases of soda pop?
No. This was a club for people under 18. It was in Plaza 2 in the basement. Sears used to be in the basement prior to.
Yeah.
And then Club Soda opened right after Sears left, but it was in the basement of the Plaza 2. And so it was an underaged club, which no parent wanted their kid to go to because, well, you know.
Word club.
Yeah, the word club and, you know. Yeah, just because it wasn't alcohol doesn't mean other things weren't transpiring there.
Yeah, so that
alcohol wasn't transpiring.
That's right. So back to this plate. What is your most? What are you most excited about being the director of this play? Is it like that it's going to hit off, or is it like the auditions, or like what is as for you the most exciting component?
Actually, the process behind it, just in general, the process.
Yeah.
The way that I've been talking about it with the team as we're going ahead is the final product, like that final painting.
Yeah.
If you wanted to use that analogy, is nice.
Yeah.
But I'm more about really making the process of painting the image to be worth the final product. The final product is not absolutely perfect, but it was fun to make.
Yeah.
That will come through in the end. Is
nice.
Is kind of my approach to it.
There you go.
So we've been really working very, very hard from like the pre-production stage even through till when the show opens up to be really inclusive. And this goes into a number of avenues. So even the audition process was completely changed to be more inclusive, and that includes people's schedules as well as demographics. You know, comfort levels, anxiety mm-hmm. levels, things like that. So trying to make it a super friendly and open process instead of right. the traditional, come on in by yourself in front of a panel of judges and be critiqued for something you'd never do is terrible and frightening.
Yeah.
So we had a process like that still for the traditional theater folks, like that's what they're familiar with, right? Right. We still changed it up to be more, you know, of a round table than a panel of judges.
Yeah.
But one of the common things we hear, and this is another guiding principle, is we took any kind of critique or criticism you've ever heard of in terms of what would prevent you from going to theater and went, cool, how do we address that specifically?
Yeah.
And so one of the common things you hear in the community is, oh, auditions for that happen? Had I known, I would have gone.
Right.
Great, cool. So we had the traditional auditions, yeah. but then 3 weeks later, we had group auditions.
Oh.
So if somebody said that, we went, great, cool, come to the group auditions.
Yeah.
Bring a friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice.
We essentially just treated the group auditions kind of like a small little free, like fun games and theater acting course, like you would for kids,
okay.
essentially.
Yeah.
It works for kids. It works for adults. That's yeah. kind of how I thought of it. And we did enough stuff to kind of be like, cool, okay, so they can do that, they can do that, and then we casted based off of those two, the group auditions and the individuals.
Very cool.
We're even trying our best to have the schedule fit, because a lot of times there's lots of site workers here yeah. in town, and one of the big criticisms we get, not like in a bad way, but constructive criticism is, mm-hmm. well, schedule, just can't make it work, which is fair, yeah. right? So we've kind of spread the production out over a longer period of time
yeah.
than you would at
yeah.
piano. It's very condensed to save money because of external contractors.
Yeah.
Having everyone local, we're able to kind of stretch it out just a bit. Gives people more time to kind of practice on their own at their own pace at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we have extra rehearsal days that are just optional. If you need the time, you can. If you miss a couple of days because, let's say, you're a week on, week off,
yeah.
there's just a day you can come and catch up as opposed to always being that far behind entire time.
Well, listen, man, I'm sad about this, but Tanner has literally been flashing and tapping his watch and like, you're way over, bro.
Sorry.
No. I ignored it the first time when I was talking. So that means we're out of time, though. But before we cut you loose, you get a shameless shout-out or plug. So you got the mic.
Besides the show we've been talking about?
Have fun. Yeah.
Including other stuff that I do in town, is there's a production company called Twisted Gear Studios. If you're interested in podcasts, you need to listen to something while you're driving to go get poutine over at Vista Ridge, then we've got a couple of shows that might entertain you, like a 1930s-themed horror radio play, possibly. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, you can find us on all the social medias at TwistedGearStudios.com.
There we go. For McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, thank you for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate both of your ongoing support. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.